I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Really, the book of Hebrews is the Leviticus of the New Testament. And it's got a lot to say as we read through it. I'd like to talk to you for a little bit this afternoon on faith that works. Faith that works. I'll use one verse from a text, and we'll try to build it around that verse this afternoon. Look at verse number 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. I think we heard about fear this morning in Sunday school. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, as you read this chapter, and every person that it mentions, it says either by faith or through faith. All of them have that statement except for the verse that I read to you just now. And this verse starts with by faith, and it finishes by faith. So it must be in faith, must really be real important for the hour that the writer was talking to. But I suggest to you this afternoon that word faith is very important today. And if it's not by faith, it's probably not worth a penny. And we want to think. And I said to you this morning about where I took my text from, I said the number 10. 10 in type is a testimony. Now, do I have a good testimony, or do you have a good testimony? If our testimony is not much, we ought to work on it. See if we can improve it. Not for ourselves, but for the glory of God. I live by faith. Now, I don't suggest any preacher do what I am talking about, fixing to say to you. But in all the years that I've been preaching, I have never asked for a dime that I can remember. When I took a church, I never knew what kind of salary I was going to get until they gave me the first check. The years that I was in evangelism, I never knew what I was going to get until they gave me a check at the end of that meeting. I said to the Lord, not too very far from here, when I surrendered to preach, we were meeting in a home to go out on visitation that night, and I can remember as though it's now, that I said, "Dear Lord, you're going to have to take care of me if this is what you want me to do. I'm not going to ask for anything. And if I starve to death, it'll be your fault. But I promise you, it's got pretty slim every now and then. But God has never let me down. I've trusted Him to take care of me and my family. And I have to say that He's done a wonderful, wonderful job. And I still live by faith as far as I go. Yes, I get what the government gives me on the 3rd of every month. Really? And if I were to tell you what it was, you wouldn't think that I even come close to having enough to live by. But every now and God sends a little sparrow in with a little offering, and it meets the need. You say, "Well, I don't see how you make it." Well, I don't either, but you can talk to God, and He might tell you how we do it. Okay? Now, I'm not being a smart aleck, and I'm not trying to tell any other preacher to do it like I've done. I think a man has a right to know what he's going to get. so he knows where he can take care of his family and that kind of stuff. I'm just telling you how I've worked all of these years. And as I said, as far as I know, I've never asked for a dime, but God's always met the need. And I've run with a few fellas that felt the same way that I feel about this thing. And so, faith, listen to me now, faith is to trust God without terms. For when God has a big job to be done, faith gets the contract. You know, if you go out here, you bid on a job. Low man is supposed to get the contract, if I've understood correctly. And so it is. And I want us to look this afternoon at several things that we can think about. And we're going to deal basically with this one verse. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark of the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let me try to break that verse down. Go, I'll give you my outline just a little bit. But notice, you got by faith, as I said, at the beginning, you got it at the end. But let's look in between that. You know, I preached years ago out of Psalm 119, and I preached on the meat between the bread. And I think we can see the meat here between the bread. And he said, by faith, I'm warned of things to come. I mean, underneath all the paraphernalia that you and I might wear or think or carry on, somehow you and I at times sense something is about to take place. We don't know what's about to take place, but we know something's going on. We just can't put our finger on it. But sooner or later we find out what it is. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. And so we need to look at what he's saying. I find also in that, it said he was moved by fear. Now, I don't know about you. I'm not afraid of you at all. But I am afraid of my God. And I say that in a loving way, because I know God's got laid out for you as well as me what he wants us to do as individuals for the cause of Christ. And if we don't fulfill that obligation to God, then we can suspect what he's done to others throughout the Word of God. And in some ways, that didn't turn out too good for the individual. I find also that he did not only talk about being warned and being moved, but then I find that he said, I'm prepared. I'm trying to think of the preacher's name right now, but I can't think of it. But I've heard him on a number of occasions and eaten with him on a number of occasions. But this man said he never preached a message unless he had put 48 hours in study of what he's going to preach. I'm telling you, if he put that much time, and I believe it, if he put that much time in it, Brother Charlie, he added some and he took away some because he knew how long. And by the way, you could set your watch. He'd be sitting on the platform when it come time to preach, and you could put your stopwatch on at that time and let it run. And when he got through preaching, he was sitting down and it had been 20 minutes right on the mark. Now, You really got to go over that thing forwards and backwards, sideways and up and down and every other way you can think of to condense it like that. And so there has to be preparation. Then I find out that there's a condemnation to the world that's in this. He said, which he condemned. And then he said again, and became heir of righteousness, clothed in a... That word righteousness, in one way, means right living. Right living. And all of you keep telling me I must be living right to be in as good a shape as I'm in. I don't know why I'm in as good a shape. I'm just going to take it and rejoice for the blessing of God. And I'll leave it there. I also found out that there was something else. Studying some in the book of Hebrews, I finished reading a commentary not long ago on the book of Hebrews, and especially with chapter number 11, I come away with this thought. Salvation, scriptures, summons, and then the second coming, or the sounding of the trumpet, or the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Those things you can find in this chapter as well. But Hebrews, it works. My first point this afternoon is the foundation of Noah's faith. He said, being warned of God. God, listen, when Noah built that ark, there was not a boat anywhere in miles that he could get a pattern from to build what he built. The only pattern that he got, he was not the architect that drew it up. The architect of architecture is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God drew up the plan and said, go exactly by this. And for 120 years, he done exactly that. And I'm amazed at all the means that went in to put that ark together. He didn't have the tools that we have today. All he had was hand tools to dig out what he'd done. I was raised in a house that the seals underneath that house were 12 by 12, and they were dug out with a foot mattock. And that would be some labor for sure if it was done that way. But the foundation, and what I want you to think about, faith is rested upon the truth of God's Word. You and I don't have any... Listen to me now. You and I don't have a thing to hold on to if we can't hold on to this Word that's right here. Stick your teeth into it. And if you need to, get you something sweet and spray across your teeth so you'll have a good taste in your mouth. It's the Word of God. Chew on it. Eat on it. Feast on it. And he said that God has spoken and God does not lie. And it never occurred to him to doubt the authority of God. And every one of us in here, if we're truthful, there's been a place in our life at some time or another we doubted God. And we ought not to have done that. We just should not have done that. And I'm telling you, as I said this morning, God is God, and there's not any other. He said, I am God, and beside me there is none other. And on he went in that line. But here is the foundation. When we go outside and we look at parking lots and things of that nature, and they hadn't been down too long, and you see cracks coming up in it, and you begin to see grass grow up in the cracks and that kind of... Why has that happened? I'm telling you, they were not a good foundation laid down for you to pour that concrete on, and you didn't support the concrete that was being poured with rebarb or the wire that they put in some places to have the foundation, the solid foundation you need. And I found the greatest block that you could ever put in the foundation when I found out what this book was all about. It's a foundation. You look for a good foundation. And all of those kind of things. It never occurred to him to doubt what God had told him to do. And I think that's wonderful. I think that's magnificent as far as I can see in the Word of God. So it has to be of a good foundation, a foundation of faith. Secondly, we find the strength. of Noah's faith. The same verse again. And he said, the things not yet seen. God has promised, but he hasn't seen it. There had never been any water. I mean, as far as rain and falling out of the sky, there had never been no rain up to that time. There was a mist that come out of up out of the earth that watered the whole earth at that time. And therefore, who would have thought that there'd ever be enough water around that area that could float a ship as big as the one he would build it? The people doubted him. I find that only Noah and his three sons and his wife and their wives are the ones that found him. The rest of the world around him did not believe him. But it rained. God said it was going to come in. It not only said it rained, it said water came up and rain came down. And so that it's there. By the way, when Noah and his family went into the ark, I want you to notice something. Boy, this thrills me. And you ought to apply this to your salvation if you're saved here this afternoon. But Noah got all the animals up to the ark, and him and his wife and his three boys and their wives are standing outside the ark, and they did not, and they did not, and they did not go into the ark until God said, come in. They couldn't go aboard under the pilot of the ship. I read on some bumper stickers on some cars sometimes, and it says, God is my co-pilot. God help that individual if that's true. Because if God is not the pilot, you're riding with the wrong pilot. I can tell you that right now. God is not anybody's co-pilot. He is the pilot. And it always has been, always will be. And so here it is. And he said the heavens were silent. In other words, it had never rained. They never heard thunder and all of this kind of thing. There was no evidence that it could ever happen because nobody had ever seen it happen. And if there was another ship around, it was miles and miles and miles away. And to think about what he's doing, and you can find all of this in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 6, I believe it is. He said, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. The strength of Noah's faith. He relied on God. He expected God to fulfill his promise. And you and I this afternoon that know Christ need to expect God to promise. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask amiss. I tell you, sometimes it's great that God doesn't answer your prayer that we prayed because we was all wanting it about us. And God's not going to answer that. You can just chew on that for a while. And so here it is. The strength of Noah's faith. I like coming here. It's easy to preach when you come here. You know why it's easy to preach when I come here? Because that's what you have all the time is preaching, 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 preaching. And I get so tired of hearing about preaching. Glory to God, sing it out loud. Make a noise for the Lord. Give me more preaching, preacher. Preach, 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 preach. Then I find the quality of Noah's faith. I hope God will do this. I wish God would do this. Maybe God will do this. I mean, that's a sick chicken captain. This was the kind of faith that brought the conviction. We don't have much of that in our churches today. The conviction. Somebody said it took 6 weeks for me to get saved when I got under conviction. No, if you just said yes to God, you could have got saved immediately. Simple as that. God's waiting for us to invite Him in. He's not going to force Himself on you. He may wish you you make you wish you sometimes you'd had a head course to make you do whatever it is that he wanted you to do. But I was telling him in the prayer room, I think, this morning that I talked to a man that I pastored down in Florida, and when I first met him, he was going to he was a member of a church. Let me change that. Going wasn't his habit of doing it. He was just a member of a church. And I kept going by every once in a while and talking to him. And Margaret, if I would have called his name, you'd know who I'm talking about. I just go by and start a gentle conversation with him and lead it into what I wanted to tell him. And eventually, him and his wife showed up, and they got their hearts right with God. And 38 years later, he's still in the house of God. I'm telling you, it might not look so good right now, but if we'll just learn to trust God and believe God will do what he said he'll do, it'll come to pass. And so we need to do that. And he said there went up a mist. Yeah, the mist went up, and the rain came down. And for so many nights and days, it rained and rained and rained. I wonder, now this is me talking now, but I wonder if some of those people that was outside the ark when God closed the door. By the way, God closed the door too. He didn't only invite them in, he closed the door. Only had one window and it was up on top, so you couldn't look down, you had to look up. And I done it a long time ago, working on heavy equipment, running the crane. If you had to walk a rail, you don't look down at the ground while you're walking that rail. You look out under in front of you. You make sure everything's clear in front of you. You just keep walking and keep walking, looking at out under in front of you. Because if you ever look down, you're probably going to fall down. And so here it is. And so we find the strength of his faith and the quality of faith. He moved with fear. Deep conviction in all of those things that God had in that life to have Noah to follow his direction. He said, by faith and by faith. And I say to you this afternoon, it's still by faith, by faith. Quality of it and deep conviction. And I know where I'm at, so I'm not afraid of what you're going to do to me when I say it. We talk about that women ought to dress right. Can I shock you a little bit? Men need to learn how to dress too. You're welcome. I mean, I see some men with less clothes on than women have on. I think if a man wants to be manly, he ought to dress like one. Thank you, Brother McGowan. You're doing good. Then I find the evidence of Noah's faith. He prepared. God told him to prepare an ark. And he prepared. How would you have liked to work on something for 120 years before you ever saw the real evidence of what you was trying to do? I mean, day in and day out, night in and night out, he's hammering away, sawing away, placing together. I helped tear down some buildings back yonder when I was a teenager that was close to where I was raised at. And Brother Gillis, except for the tin had been nailed on top of those buildings we were tearing down, everything was put together by wooden pegs. Even the covered bridge was put together by wooden pegs. It's amazing how you can make another piece of wood to stick in a hole to hold two pieces of wood together and them not to come apart. I'm glad I found some glue that's better than Elmer's glue. That glue is called faith. And if you ever get it stuck on you, you can't get it off. Hallelujah for that. I see, isn't it pathetic? And if you're here, I'm not mad at you with what I'm going to say. But why is it that men and women have to have tattoos all over their bodies? And I especially talk to ladies with that. Why do you want to destroy your beauty that God has given you by putting all that mess on you? If you'll check out how tattoos really get started, nobody would put them on. I don't care who you are. And it didn't start where most of you might think it started, but it wasn't started for a good reason, I can tell you that. Prepared an ark. Noah's faith was demonstrated by actually constructing that. Ladies and gentlemen, if I walk out these doors this afternoon, and there's people standing in the parking lot out there, and I start using foul language as soon as I get out the door, first thing is, I'll never be back to give you. But you have a crowd out there that's different than the crowd in here, and they're going to say, they're no different than I am. I am to live, and you are to live, that others can see Christ in us. I repeat my statement. They need to see Christ in us. The way we dress, the way we talk, the way we smell. Smoking never sent anybody to hell. It just made them smell like they just got back. That's not original with me. Demonstrating, actually constructing the ark, and we need to grow our faith and walk with God. This kind of faith God commends, and it is demonstrated faith, and it proves to be genuine, and we need it more and more and more. The Bible says times will go worse and worse and worse until Jesus comes. It's not going to get any better, ladies and gentlemen. We may grow closer to God, but the world is going to get worse and worse and worse. Nobody's going to be expecting Jesus to come when He comes. The Scripture says He'll come as a thief in the night. If the watchman knew when the thief was coming, He'd be ready for Him. But the world is not ready for Jesus tonight, and hasn't been ready for a long time. I can remember when I think everything ought to be done decently in order, but I can remember when there was a little excitement around the house of God. I remember in the first church that I pastored, we had a young lady about 18 years old. She had several things wrong with her. I was told when we started picking her up and carrying her to the church that we'd have to watch her very closely, that she had epileptic seizures. And the daddy gave me a little bitty bottle of ammonia, so when she started having it, I could wave that out here in front of her. But you know one thing about it? I never saw that young lady the whole time I pastored that church. Never, never one time did I see that young lady have a seizure in the house of God. And her little old body was so deformed and things. And she lived in a housing project. And she'd get the tracks out of the track rack. And in that housing complex where she lived, when they wouldn't open the door, She would get down on her knees and slide that sack the best she could underneath the door. When she passed away, she was eating supper one evening, and she swallowed a chicken bone, and it choked her to death. And at the funeral, we couldn't pack the rope in the church house. People were standing outside with the windows open and that kind of thing. And I heard people talk about, well, she really had something. Even though she was not fully developed in some ways, she really had what all of us need. She trusted God. And the day she found out she was really having a hard time, and she'd called my wife and was talking to my wife. And my wife said to her, sweetheart, do you know your name is in the Bible? She said, no, ma'am. And my wife showed her in the Bible, her name in the Bible. That kid got so excited, I thought we was going to lose her right there. That was even brought out during the funeral service. And people sat and cried like newborn babies at that funeral when they turned their backs on her, when she was just trying to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need the evidence of our faith to prove what we have is real, ladies and gentlemen. Let's quit playing church and be a part of the church. We are building that's been designed by God. And there'll never be another architect that can build a building like God's building out of His church. We need to look up, not look down. Then there's the results of Noah's faith. It said that he condemned the world. And I've tried to do that this afternoon as well. And I'm saying to you, God told Noah to come into the ark. He closed the door when Ark and his family got in. The Lord shut him in Genesis chapter number 7, verse number 16. And the rains came down, the floods came out. Too late. Can't get in. God's not going to open the door. He already had an ark. They'd already had years, at least 120 years of opportunity to get right with God. Some of the people you and I know have had 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, and some even beyond that, and they still die without the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we got a good church in the community, they can't blame the church for it, because the church is there for them to be there. The church is here so we can go out and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no excuse to die without Christ. All the blame is on their shoulders, not on God's and not on the church. And so that's the result of his faith. The wicked could not gain an entrance. I wonder if Noah could hear the clawing of those folks on the outside of that ark trying to get in. You're going to ask me, probably after church, some of you anyway, do I believe that the ark is still in existence? I tell you, I don't know. I have not seen it. I know what I read and find out. And they say where it's covered up in Turkey today. I don't know. But I know what kind of wood it was made out of. And the wood that it was made out of was everlasting. And ladies and gentlemen, he told me in the Word of God, if I'd get saved, I had life everlasting. And if he can make wood for that boat to be built out of that would last forever, bless God, the salvation he's provided will last for a salvation. And I can jump up and down and shout glory to God anyhow, because I know it's real. And the reason I know it's real, Jesus said it. I was talking to a black gentleman over where we ate today, and he told me where they were from. And he said, that's where the peaches have grown. And he said, you know, preacher, it's amazing. There were no peaches this year. He said, trees that generally have been full, many of them only had two or three peaches on it. And I know why, because of the cold weather we had about the time they were blooming. And I know peach trees, I needed some cold weather to make them to taste like they ought to taste and that kind of stuff. Come up here, Chris, right here. I wonder what is it, what some of you would think if we come in here Wednesday night, preaching back home, you know, and every man would walk up to another man and we put our arms around his shoulder and around his neck and reach over and lean up against his face and say, "I love you, brother in the Lord." I wonder what some folks would think. But that's Bible. Let me close with something like this. Have you ever heard of the word compassion? You know what that word means? I'm talking to us as believers now. That word compassion means that when you're sick or you're hurting, I'm going to enter in with you in your sickness and feel your sickness as you feel it, that I might lift you up and hold you up, that God might strengthen you, and we can still walk together for God. You can't get any closer than that, ladies and gentlemen. Faith that works. I can remember a few years ago, I had a few dollars. And I thought, well, I'll invest this. And I put it in a certain account, and it did. And for a little while, it made money. But along came something else, and the bottom fell out of the stock market. And instead of making $100 or so a month on what I'd invested. I'm likely to get $20 every 3 months now. Because nothing has ever come back like it was. I'm saying to you, the only investment tonight is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only thing you'll ever come across, you'll ever get a hold to, that has full value 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months out of the year, and it will be till Jesus is no more, and there will never be a time that when Jesus is not. So he's going to gain and then gain some more as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. God is good. He's not only good, God is not only good all the time, but he's all the time good. And so here it is. Faith that works. Put it together. Let it work. God will honor it, and God will take care of it. Listen, Robert's been through some stuff with what's been going on with him that none of us probably will ever experience. And I hope you did. I believe you did. But I guarantee you, if I could hear you testify in these moments, I'd hear you say that we constantly prayed for Robert and lifted Robert up that he might somehow or another, by the grace of God, come through what he's come through. That's what faith is all about. Who knows what I would feel like in the morning when I get up? I've already told you when I get up, I got a nickname, Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Rice Krispies, you know. Everything's just cracking all over. But one thing about it, when you move, it'll wake you up. Here it is. Faith. I ought to be able to call you ladies sisters with the right faith. I ought to be able to call you men brethren with the right kind of faith. And the only kind of faith that is the right kind of faith is the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith don't need to push us. We push faith because we want to grow up and not be kids in the army of God, but we ought to want to be soldiers for the cause of Christ. And that's where our faith works as we walk with the Lord Jesus. I'm glad I'm in God's army tonight. I'm not only glad I'm in God's army tonight, I'm glad I'm one of his children. And if you don't mind, when we go out the door, call me St. McGowan. I don't have to be dead 1,600 years for somebody that wears his collar turned around backwards and dresses like Mama. I got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be more like Christ tomorrow than I am right now. And if God lets me live another week, I want to be more like Christ at the end of the week than I am today. I want my mate. Let me ask you, ma'am. Have you got any silverware? Does it ever get tarnished? What do you do when it gets tarnished? Scrub it a little bit. Does it shine when you do that? Well, maybe we ought to get out the faith polishing a little bit so we'll shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. I say to you this evening, because of our faith, even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come. Let's stand together.